Hello and welcome to the Tyler Sten Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Mayo, and for a special international break doubleheader, I'm delighted to bring you a chat that we did just after the Millwall game a couple of weeks ago with Brian McDermott and Jem Karachan, men who ultimately need no introduction, but of course the 2012 Championship winning manager and one of the star midfielders of that Royals team that is so revered. We talk about Championship winning season, the playoff fight, and the way that the two guys got together really as the reserves manager that Brian was, and in the coming through the academy that Jem did, all the way up to the Legends game that took place last year. This is the first of two episodes, as I say, with the second part coming on Monday, where we talk about post-Reading and their off-field careers for both guys. So without further ado, let's get into that chat then with Brian McDermott and Jem Karachan on the Tyler Sten Podcast.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Lovely to have you guys both with me. It's an absolute pleasure to do a podcast in person, which we really don't get to do very often these days. Usually we're all in our spare rooms in our pyjamas. So thanks for putting on some proper clothes and coming out. And yeah, it's great to have you, Brian. How you doing? Had a good morning?
I haven't got my pyjamas on, but... The best gear on because I've seen Jem. He's actually got the same gear on as me. We look like we're
This is cute, isn't it?
I've got a uniform on.
I missed the memo.
Black coat, like a camper. Blue jeans.
Yeah.
So, no, all good.
How you doing, Jem? All good?
All good, yeah, all good, thank you.
The game yesterday, the Millwall game, how was that?
Yeah, obviously it was a disappointing result, but, you know, I think the main focus for the club at the moment is just getting through the season, surviving, and just go from there in the summer.
Yeah, I'll avoid any talk out of 6-point deductions because I don't need that sort of vibe in the room today. But when was the last time you two were together then?
Not long ago.
Was that about a year ago?
Yeah, about a year.
Was it the Legends game or was it more recently?
Oh, well, I think that was the last time.
Oh, was it?
Before that, we had a catch-up in
Marlow.
In Marlow, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would say that was a year ago maybe, a bit longer.
Yeah, but obviously the Legends game, which was an incredible couple of days.
Scored a good goal in it, yeah.
Good goal in it.
What was your team talk in that game? Did you bring it back to the old days and give it that sort of stuff, or did you just...
What
give
sort
it
of a, stuff?
Well, your team talk. What was your team talk in those days?
I didn't do it. Oh, my team talk back in the day was... We talked about... We did all the work before the game, and then we did 5 minutes before they went out, and then they just did their stuff, boys.
Nice and simple.
Yeah, and then... team talk for Legends, and we didn't have a team talk, we just got together, and it was like we had all seen each other the day before.
Yeah,
it was literally, wasn't it, Jack? Yeah. It was exactly like that. It was like a load of blokes coming together, just good mates, and it was so nice. And I really enjoyed the day, to be honest.
How do you find it?
Loved it. I think obviously I'm recently retired officially, but I think in my head and in my heart that was probably like the cherry on top.
The swan song almost.
Yeah, like just almost a bit of like where it started a little, not, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Really, probably shouldn't knock it on the head after that, to be fair, after that goal, but no, it was an unbelievable couple of days, wasn't it? It was just like I say, best mates pretty much coming back together and reminiscing about good times.
Yeah.
How was it with the 106 guys as well? Do you hang out with those guys at all much? How was your kind of like relationship with a different team? And I guess you probably know most of the guys from it anyway, but for you guys as well, like, it's a different team. You're kind of the two teams certainly for like recent generations that have done so well. How was it like hanging out with those guys and talking to them?
Well, I was boot boy for as many of them as possible. I think when I was like 16, I tried to take on all the boots to get as much Christmas bonus, so I got on really well with them. Like, I loved them. They were my heroes, really. You know, like Harks and Sidwell. I know, unfortunately, they both weren't there. But in terms of like the group, they were kind of, they'd done it. They were there. They were like,
they were the pinnacle.
They were the pinnacle of what I wanted to do. Watching them play, that I was speaking to someone yesterday. That year in the Premier League, it made me a fan of the club.
Yeah.
And obviously, I only come in the year before, but just like a fan of football, like it was. It was the most exciting football I think I've seen, and probably to this day I think I've seen, just apart from our lot, obviously. But it was just good, and the lads were wicked. They always took us on board. They were there for us, and unfortunately, our crossover, I played with a lot of them in the end. So I played with
Andrew Coppel as well.
So yeah, Stevie Coppel gave me my my debut. But even like say Eva and Sonko, they're just like say they're just quality people. And I think growing up and seeing who's in the game and people in the game and different characters, I mean, that group was just made of the best characters. And it allowed us to learn from them, pretty much soak up everything that they did and not replicate it, but almost, I think we almost did a little bit. Like the next group that come through, we were like, whatever it takes, Eamon's thing was whatever it takes.
Mm.
And we knew what it took because we had them to go off.
Yeah, definitely.
And that was probably the reason. But was that Chief Scout when you, with that group?
Oh, it was a great time.
Yeah.
That was probably my, sounds a bit strange to say it like this, but for me it was probably the best time I had at the club.
Mm.
Working with Steve and Wally and Dill and all the coaches and all the players, and bringing in, first conversation I had with Steve, the only meeting Steve and I officially had was when we first walked through the door, and I was, you know, thinking about going with Alan to, where did he go, West Ham, and that was possible, wasn't he, you know, whether he was going to take me or not. And Steve just brought me in the room and just said, look, I've heard really good things about you, I want you to stay, I just want you to find me players. And I thought, I went, all right then. And that was it. And and from then I was just trying to find players, and also I was lucky enough then to work with the younger players and the reserves, and I kept my hand in with both things really. So it was amazing. It was an amazing time. You know, I remember losing to Wigan the year before we went up. And I remember that they celebrated.
That was the last game of the season. That's they won 3-0 to go up.
Yeah, and I looked at that and I thought, and we had to kind of rebuild. And when we went back the following season in 2005-06, and people can say whatever they like about that season and say, well, yeah, we knew we had this, we had that. We had 12 players when we turned up at pre-season training. Marcus wasn't there. We had no goalkeeper. We just signed Shane and we just signed Doyler.
Who were unknown quantities as well. Didn't really know.
Shane went with the academy for a while. He trained with the first team, and then he went with the academy for a while.
Mm.
So yeah, and then all of a sudden we started to build, and it was good. It was a good time. But no, you couldn't have called it that pre-season. Absolutely no way.
Yeah, is there for you and Steve as well? It's so interesting that your playing styles were quite similar, really.
Yeah, but he was better.
is that something that you picked up off him, or is that just how you both saw football?
That's really funny actually, because when I was at Arsenal, Donna used to say to me, I want you to play like Steve Coppell. I'm thinking, you should go and sign him then. And there's always comparisons between me and Steve, apart from Steve and I. We never compare each other with each other. We're just good mates, and there's no need for comparisons.
You're both wingers, weren't you?
So. We're both right wingers, yeah. He was a great player, obviously a top player, and a top manager. And I learned a lot from Steve. And a lot of it was Steve was one of these people that he used to say to me when the early days, he used to say, there's 100% of stuff, just deal with 5% of it.
Mm.
And, you know, if there was a decision to make, take the emotion out of the decision and just make the decision.
Yeah.
And I always, you know, I learned an awful lot from him. He was a good manager, really, really good manager.
Yeah, for sure. What was your two's first encounter then? Do you remember that? Because, I mean, that you won the reserve league in 06-07. Was that a team that you were part of as well?
I was mainly captain.
How was that? And obviously you've known each other for so long now. Looking back then, what do you see as a manager that was different between Brian then and Brian that you then had in the 2012 season?
Well, going back to the first part of that, my first encounter with Brian was that he was reserves gaffer.
Mm.
And obviously I remember him coming to watch, I think, a couple of sessions. And do you remember Hogwood, we had like the slope? It was like on the left side of the, I'm trying to think, like look at the main pitches, there was like a little slope where you could sit and watch training. I remember Brian watching training, and I was thinking, if I want to get in this reserves team, I've got to give it a go. But I wasn't. But I mean, I've got impressed.
I think it was
a Millwall Reading game coming up, and it was at the stadium, and put me in it. And I remember that's my debut for reserves, and I was thinking, how has this almost happened so quickly? Because I was only 16, mm-hmm. and just coming to as a scholar, But yeah, that's probably my first kind of memory of Brian, kind of just watching the training on the side and knowing he was effectively, I know we had Eamon, but he was our next manager.
The next step up.
We had to impress. But yeah, I mean, to Brian, to the gaffer, we had, I think I'd probably tell you something, we were such, we took his leadership in terms of like, we looked after stuff ourselves. It was very much like a, we had our, okay, it's like your Jobies, your Caspers, and we all kind of fed into them, and I think they obviously went to Brian, and Brian went to them, and they led us. But never, I'm trying to think if I never had a bad experience. I mean, we had a couple of theory by the end of it.
Once,
that you always bring up, but it was incredible. I know you always look back with like, as they say, rose tinted.
Yeah, rose tinted spectacle.
Yeah, but I do, because it was always good. Do you know what I mean? It was always, I don't think it was, we didn't really have bad times. Like we had, I mean, the Premier League was tough, obviously, but up to that point, everything was always on the up. It was always really good. And yeah, I couldn't speak highly enough of Ms. Gaffer, and anyone I always speak to after, I'm like, what was your best experience? And it was because of Brian and because of Gibbo, that group that we had, and you go to your Lukes, your Dans, like just the team that he created around that first team was incredible. And I remember leaving Reading. Part of the reason I left Reading in the end was because Luke, Sal, Dan left, and that was almost like, that's my time,
that's like the end of the year or sort of thing.
I was like, so when that happened, I was like, that was almost my, yeah, I'm done. Apart from 6 months later, when Brian got a job back, and I was straight on the phone to him, and I was like, any chance? But yeah, I mean, it was just incredible, really. Apart from, and then was it the Newcastle game where I didn't play and I kicked off after?
Was that the home or away in the
away game? Yeah.
Yeah, because we won, didn't we?
We won, but it would tell. Oh no, Everton. That was another one, wasn't it?
I remember Newcastle. Yeah. It was Everton.
It was Everton. I didn't play and I kicked off. He was like, we've just beat Everton away from home, and all I could think about was you being a stroppy little in the change room. And I was like, I can't believe you didn't play me.
Who got the nod? Was it J-Tab or someone? Or?
I don't know who got the nod, to be honest. It wasn't about who got the nod. It was about the fact that we always talked about the group, and Jim was young. Listen, he was getting, Jim was getting, I was picking Jim, I always pick Jim. It's kind of how it was, but we won the game 1-0 at Everton, and he was sat there not happy. And I just thought, that's not how it works, Jim.
And I told him,
but you know what, when you're young, you do that.
Yeah.
I've done it as a player. It wasn't a big deal.
It's kind of like, it's got to happen once, it's just whether it happens again, almost.
If it happens every week, he's not going to be there. If you're someone's high maintenance, he's not going to be there. That's the bottom line. And Jim was never high maintenance. He was a great influence with the lads. His energy was, for me, was perfect. Just wanted his energy to be so, just, I just wanted him to be Jim. And you know, I wanted him to get off the reins, just go and make tackles and pass the ball.
Get
and,
stuck in. Yeah.
You know, he got a goal at Preston once. Was it Preston? Is that when you volleyed?
That's a worldie, right? Yeah.
Oh wow, what a goal he got! Millwall. I remember a goal at Millwall.
Don't know if that was me. I think I remember.
No, not in a Forest.
Not in a Forest. Yeah.
You know, and even like when things were going badly or in during the game, you knew that he would give you an impetus. You know, make a good pass or make a tackle or make a run that lifts the crowd. And he was, and that was what I wanted. You know, he was just a really, really good box to box midfield player and a top guy.
How does that compare to when you first saw him in those reserve games then? Was he the same player?
He was just younger and smaller. Then he was the same.
Yeah.
His energy was the same. His energy levels were the same. He just needed time. I think you went out on loan as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to Bournemouth with Kevin Bond, and I went to Millwall with Kenny Jackett.
Yeah.
Which was perfect for me. But I remember after the Millwall loan, I don't know why I did it, but I called Steve Coppell up.
Yeah.
After that, and I went, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, go on loan again. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. But I remember Brian, like, do you remember Sheffield United away? It was obviously at Bramall Lane. And I think we'd lost the game. And I remember, I think I did okay in the game. I don't remember the particular performance, but I remember Brian and Gibbo pulling me in the dressing room after. I think it was in the toilet. Well, putting me in the toilets, but they went, I just want to have a chat with you. And I was like, oh God, what have I done wrong? And they were like, we need you. We need, like, we've lost, but we need you to kind of impact the group and be you around the group to kick us on. I remember from that moment on, I was like, they care about me. They see me as a focal point of the team. I think from that point on, I felt like that. So them little moments that you look back now and you remember when you sat here with each other, I think you remember them little things and why I did well and why the team did well and why the relationship was so good.
I always think that as well with, because when Kevin Doyle went and then Shane Long was still there, and I don't know if obviously this conversation happened, but I always imagine that they went to Shane Long and just said, you're the guy now and you're stepping up and you are, you know, you are star striker. And I must, the faith that you must get as a player, being like, well, I'm definitely going to start 20, 30 games next year. I've got time. I don't have to do it all in the first minute. I can, you know, do it properly, basically. And that must have a massive impact on you as a player.
I don't think that happened with Shane.
Did it not?
I would have doubted it was Steve.
Or would it have just been natural then? There wasn't a conversation.
Well, if you look at what happened, Kevin went, when did Kev go? 2009?
Just after we lost to Burnley in the playoffs.
So he went in 2009, then Brendan came in. Shane didn't play. He was in and out, didn't play. And Shane was having a bit of a difficult time as far as getting game time, etc., etc. And then, obviously, I got the job in December. And then he started to play some games. He'd gone off the bench against Liverpool. We won the game up at Anfield. And then he kicked on. But I remember he didn't score for a long time. And then we kept playing him, Because if you asked all the lads in the dressing room, you know, he's not scoring at the moment, but do you put him in the time? And Jem can answer this question. Do you play Shane Long?
Yeah,
I'm telling you, every single member of that team and that dressing room would have said yes.
We didn't care if he didn't score.
No.
Like, it was what he
what
he gave, like, to that. And I think that probably proves, like, the career that Shane's had.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I remember the season, he was unbelievable. Everything he touched was a goal. But he'll tell himself that every team, the moves he's got, is the reason Shane's in that team. Yes, he gets goals, but what he gives to you as a midfielder, you know this guy's going to give everything. You know, you spin a ball in behind, he's there. It was like just a natural, it was, he just knew, didn't he? Like, he was so good.
Yeah, he was.
And is so good. He was a quality striker, and the reason we did flourish, really.
Yeah. No, I was never a doubt in my mind about him. And he was going to play, that was it. And then he started to score, then he started to make goals, etc., etc. And look at him, he's had a brilliant career.
The rest is history, isn't it, really?
Yep.
So for when you're in the team then, and obviously Brian comes in as manager, you must be thinking, perfect, because there was a bit of, remember when Brendan left, it was a bit of uncertainty as to what really we were going to do next, because Brendan was kind of the long-term manager, you know, kind of modernised the club to an extent, and it was very natural that he was chosen as manager because he had previously been at the club. So how did it feel after that period of Brendan going? Because it was like, where do we kind of go from here? It was a bit of a strange time in a way, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an interesting time for the club, and even myself. Like, Brendan told me that someone could leave. So I think there was an offer from Beşiktaş, I think, at the time, that had come in and put an offer in, and he was like, you can leave. And I remember going into Nicky Allen's office and be like, well, I don't want to go if you're not letting me go, or if you are letting me go and I don't want to go, like, do I get a new contract? And he's like, no. And I was like, well, that's how it works on Football Manager. But then obviously Brendan, I mean, we had a pre-season game, I think we were in Sweden at the time, and I think it was almost like the second string played, and I'd done well. It was almost a bit of like, I'll show you that I should be in this team. And then after that, he pulled me the next week and said, where do you want to play in midfield? And I was like, I don't know, holding midfield. And he's like, okay, you're my new Makaleli. And that was how our relationship kind of started. But then I fell out of the team with Brendan, stopped playing me. And then, I was, obviously, when Brian got the job, I was like, great.
This is a new
fresh beginning, you know. Yeah. And not that I felt great that the manager leaving, obviously, but I knew
the ideal replacement.
He knew us, like, from when we were kids, so it was the ideal replacement, yeah.
Yeah, and taking over that team then, because it was, I mean, it's a good team, as we know, but it was the style of play was, there was a lot of conversation about whether it was kind of the wrong style of play. I think it was Alex Pearce made captain, and he was quite young as well, wasn't he? Yeah. So how was it coming into that dressing room?
Well, first and foremost, I had to get myself out of the way, because obviously Brendan was different to me. So, you know, looked totally different as far as, you know, the way he did things and stuff like that. And look, the history tells you, Brendan's a top manager. Yeah. He's been a top manager for years and years. Brendan can manage anyone. It didn't work for him at Reading, for whatever reason. That's life. That sometimes doesn't work. Club's not right at the time. The players didn't really suit the player the way that he wanted to play. And that's fine, and that's not a problem. You know, like Jem, I would never play Jem in a holding role situation, you know, because you can't let... You've got to let him off the reins. You've got to let him run.
Yeah.
Like, I've got to do his stuff, and that's when he's most effective for me. So, yeah, I just looked at it and I thought, well, it took a little bit of time. And if you think about it, we started off, our first five league games were, in my caretaker capacity, was draw 2, loss 3.
Plymouth was a bit dodgy, wasn't it?
Bit dodgy.
Was that your first one?
So my first game was Bristol City away, Churchill scored last minute.
Yeah.
Second game was, I think Gilfie scored it, a free kick, not that I remember, 1-1. I think third one was got smashed 4-1, it could have been 10 at Plymouth.
Yeah.
Then we had a game called off, I think called at Newcastle, which I was buzzing about, because I thought they were flying.
Yeah.
And then we played Liverpool. Nick Hammond brought me into the dressing room and said, look, you know, after the last game, they're going to be looking for a new manager and looking for, so you need a good performance in your next game, and it was Liverpool. I thought, yeah. Cheers. so that was that. And we played really well against Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then I think then was the Newcastle game was called off.
Okay.
Which was good. Bit more time. Then we played Liverpool and we won well.
Yeah.
We played well. We played really well. I think you made a big tackle early on in the game, actually.
I remember you telling me, stick it on Gerrard.
Don't say that in public, please. I don't, if Stephen Gerrard's not listening, I'm sure. I didn't say stick it on Stephen Gerrard. I didn't say that.
In your mind, maybe, I just said
make sure you compete with the best midfield player in the world.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'll stick on him.
Yeah, that was your words, not mine.
I think I got booked, I think it was like 2 minutes in. I was like, oh, what an idiot.
You don't want to be that player.
I've got the rest, of the games going through, but the home game, we should have won that, shouldn't we?
Yeah,
it was.
Was it a Gerrard fluky cross? Am I remembering that right? Just kind of beat everyone.
Just before half time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deflected.
We played so well.
No, I don't know what that was. That it was the second game when we were one down, just before half time.
Mm.
We played well.
Yeah, it was a quality couple of games, wasn't it? It was.
I don't know where the performance come from, but it was just about changing things back to which suited the way that the players play.
Yeah. Then Brignac Guinness pops out with a nutmeg.
And then you've
got to
remember, Brignac played right, and I've forgotten that. Yeah. Brignac played right back.
Mm.
It was outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, Brignac is one of the toughest blokes I've ever met in my life, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a top player, top lad.
We were so lucky to have like a Brin. Even Brin wasn't really the number one, was he, when he was in that team at obviously City Arms.
Yeah.
But he was so good around the place.
Yeah.
Like you just knew if you needed him, he'd do that.
Reliable.
Yeah, he was like, I guess a bit like Tabby was. You just knew if you would play him, he'd give you everything.
Do you know what? I think if I was still there, I'd still give him another contract. He'd have been 50, but I'd have given him a contract. Just to have him around the place.
Yeah.
Just to have him around. He was such a... Do you know what? He was tough in training as well, and there was no messing around, was there?
Except
the lads trained how they played, which I liked.
Yeah.
So when did it all start to click then? I mean, we had, for Jem as well, we had Ledger would come in, and then that just kind of, that stuck so nicely, didn't it? Was that like, did you get Ledgerwood to partner Jem in a way, or was that just kind of, it all fell into place nicely? Was it like statistical almost? Like, how did you build that squad into, you know, fill in the gaps basically?
Well, I tried to get good people through the draw, and we got that. We got really good people. And now and again, we got one or two that didn't quite fit in, but generally we got in decent lads, and they all were. Ledger was a proper decent lad, and the two of them fixed perfectly together.
Mm.
You know, they both could run, they both could tackle, they both could pass it, they both could play. Both box to box midfield players. I mean, I never said to Jem, you sit in there and you go, Ledge, or Ledge, you sit in there and you go, Jem. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, we were buying people. We knew Ledge knew what he was doing. I think he'd won the league the year before with QPR, hadn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So with Cork as well.
And Casper.
Yeah,
Casper was an important one.
That was incredible. I was, again, speaking to someone yesterday, and I think Casper was the best signer. Was it Holloway?
Yeah, we lost 1-0 at Holloway.
Yeah, and I remember. Did he play that game? Or did
I think he might have played that game.
I think that was his first game.
Yeah.
And I think just having him in the dressing room, obviously, when you get someone that, or both of them that won the league, you're like, well, okay, there, you listen to him.
They
and
know.
He was unbelievable, Cass.
He was.
He was driving to Southampton, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, I knew his agent.
Yeah.
Because I'd done all that scouting and all that stuff. I knew his agent really well. I said, listen, you need to get him here. We need to talk to him. I tell you, I need to sign this player. And I wasn't taking no for an answer.
Yeah.
And I knew his agent really well.
Yeah.
And I got him in. As soon as I got him through the door, I wasn't letting him walk out the door. No, I'm not joking. You think I'm being obsessive here? I am obsessive. I'm an obsessive person. When I want something like that, and he knew how much I wanted him.
Mm.
And there was no time to think, you need to sign it, and you're going to get locked in this room until you sign.
But even like with, it was funny when we signed Mikel, because obviously being at Wimbledon as a kid, I looked up to Joby and Ledge.
Mm.
And so they were, I remember going to like to training and the under-18s game would be on, like a couple of, or was it 17s back then, or the under-17s game would be on, and I'd go over with my mum and watch some of the game, and it was like Joby and Ledge. So when we'd signed them both, I was genuinely like, I'm playing with
your heroes.
With my heroes,
that
I watched. So I think naturally he knew that. I'd obviously, first thing I told him was like, oh mate, I used to watch you when I was like 10 years old or whatever, like, and I think from that moment it just clicked, and he was almost like, I want you to, you're a young lad, I want you to achieve.
Mm.
And he was just unbelievable, and he's still a really close friend of mine, and it was just the chemistry that group had. We'd do anything for each other, wouldn't it? And getting signings like that in the door just added to what we had, and the young group that we had.
Yeah.
It was almost just, it was like just perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really the point of the podcast, but I remember my first ever Reading game I went to was a kid for a quid, and it was Reading versus Wimbledon. And the 90th minute winner, some kid called Joby McEnough scored a header at the far post for Wimbledon. And I remember as like an 8-year-old, I was like, who is this guy? What is this pointless? 8 years later, I went on and lifted the trophy, which I thought was quite funny. But one player that I wanted to mention, I was a massive fan at the time of Sean Cummings.
Yeah.
Because he came to the club on, I think we'd signed him permanently. He'd been on loan at West Brom and we kind of plucked him, which was a bit unusual and still would be. And he wasn't very good when we first had him in the team and everything. And yet he went on and he was a stalwart basically at right back, and he did the job and everything. But why I'm interested in him to talk to him about today is that his career didn't go on and have, like, you know, he played in the Premier League for us, but then he was at Millwall, and it kind of like was a bit of a lower key career than he had with Reading. How do you see that? Because he was a good, talented footballer. Right back is a bit of an unusual position in the sense that you don't have to like lead the team very often. But how do you see a player like Sean Cummings, who for us was part of a brilliant team, and then his career otherwise wasn't quite as big?
Yeah, so my first signing at the club, I don't know if you remember who it was Andy Griffin.
Yeah.
I loved that, Andy Griffin.
Mm.
As a person, top. As a character, top. Physically tough. And then Sean was taken in by, Brendan took him to the club. And I remember one of his first games for me, he didn't play when I first got the job. Marcus Williams, that we'd signed at left back, had played one game against Portsmouth, then we played Leicester, and Marcus Williams wasn't fit, and I put Sean Cummings in at left back against Leicester. I don't know if you remember that game.
Away.
Yeah.
Gilfie scored
just before he disappeared to Hoffenheim.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely magnificent, and the boys clapped him in the dressing room. I just said, Sean, outstanding today at left back. He was outstanding. And I'll tell you another story about Sean Cummings. Sean Cummings played, and you'll remember this, right wing against Cardiff.
I was just about to say, against Bellamy, wasn't it?
Yeah, in that game where we won 3-0. And I have massive guilt about this, but I felt it was right at the time. He wasn't involved in the squad for the Wembley, when we went to Wembley, at all.
Mm.
He wasn't even on the bench. And I had to tell him, and I was like, I was awake the night before, and I'm like really quite emotional about telling him, because he was brilliant. Yeah. Jimmy had come back. Jimmy had to play. And I just thought at the time, how can I not put this? I couldn't get him on the bench. Mm. We only had 5 at the time, and I felt real guilt about that. And I spoke to him about that, I think, and he was just such a top guy, wasn't he? Mm. He's just such a top guy. And every time he performed for us, he just did really, really well. And he probably wasn't going to be. We was at Chelsea before, and he played a certain way with us, and he just fitted in.
Yeah,
he was quiet, unassuming, and he was just a lovely, lovely lad. I got so much time for him. I really have. And he did great, and he did really well, and he won a medal, and he played in the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that Cardiff game as well. One of my defining memories of that Cardiff game, other than. In my mind, it took about 7 hours for the ball to drop from Shane Long's chip and land in the net. I think that was one of the longest waits of my life. But for you as a manager, because I don't know if you remember, but you did like the Sky interview next to the away fans, and the away fans all kind of waiting for you to do this interview to give you like a hero's reception and stuff afterwards. Are you kind of aware of that at the time? Are you kind of thinking that as soon as I turn around, 3,000 people are going to go mental? Or are you just kind of doing your media business, basically?
Do you know what? For me, it was just relief. We just won.
Mm.
And the lads were going to Wembley. And I wasn't aware of anybody, really. I was just thinking, we've won. What a relief. We can go home and we know that we've won the game and we're playing at Wembley in 10 days' time or whatever it is. And then we had an army of fans there. You know?
Yeah.
Amazing, really. I mean, I look back at that time and I remember that game in particular. I think, blimey, you know, we drew 0-0 in the first game and I was really happy with a 0-0 draw.
Mm.
I don't know why. I just thought, someone had said to me, just make sure you stay in the game, you don't lose. And I was confident travelling with this lot, with our boys, that we could go anywhere and win.
At the end of that 0-0, the Cardiff fans jumped up celebrating because they thought they'd won it, hadn't
their
they?
Their staff came into us and there was only one of their staff and I thought, they think they've won.
Mm.
I was so confident. I got two sides to my character and I talk about this in the presentations I do, and Jen wouldn't know this, but I've got this ego that says, you're going to win every game. And I actually, if you put a lie detector on me, I would go, Liverpool, you're going to win. And I believed, and I told them, they were going to win.
Yeah.
Everton, we're going to win, even though he wasn't in the team. we were going to win. But when they went out for the warm-up, I was sat on my own thinking, we're going to get beat 6-0. And I was like, literally like a little kid in this room thinking, oh, this is going to be so humiliating. I'm going to get beat. So I had that going on at the same time.
Yeah, you're like these two
different people.
You're like a devil.
Two devils, yeah. But I could absolutely convince the boys that we were going to win. And that's what happened. So, yeah, I mean, I have to say, that was a great night, actually. It was a good night.
Yeah, it was one of my favourite ones.
I mean, we had a massive support, brilliant following. And, I wasn't really aware of that.
Side of it, really. I think that's one of the things that you pick up as a fan, certainly. I mean, what are your memories of that Cardiff night in particular? Because on the you must be buzzing that you're going to Wembley, but was there a bit in the back of your mind that you hadn't quite finished the job?
I don't know, that it was a quality performance, wasn't it? Yeah. Like it was just like a complete game. Like I didn't like Cardiff. It's always like Chopra, Jay Buford, I think it was like Steve McPhail. Like we always had like really kind of like tense encounters.
Yeah, really competitive.
Yeah, it was really competitive. So I was buzzing to win. But I only saw this recently. You know the J. Lloyd Samuel documentary?
I haven't seen it.
You've not seen it?
No.
They talk about kind of him in his career, and they spoke about when he was at Cardiff. And I didn't know, but did you know the week before that they'd all gone out?
For Cardiff.
A few of the Cardiff lads had gone out. Mm. I think before we played them,
right,
and it had been pictured, and I never knew, and we didn't know. I look back and I'm, we didn't know that.
No.
But they, I think they, Collins had been caught out like a few days before the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know that until the other day. I was thinking, oh, that's nuts, isn't it, to think that now from that game that they were going out like a few days. That's how confident I think they almost thought they were going to do us.
Did they have a good night?
I don't know, it looked like it. but yeah, I think that game was just unbelievable. And obviously going to Wembley, I mean, like, you can't...
That was our first trip to New Wembley, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was just, I don't know, it was like, here we go, lads. I thought it was our time. I just thought, this group, we win. I was thinking, we play Swansea, who obviously had a good season, a certain way of playing, and it was Brendan as gaffer. I thought, nah, we'll win this.
Yeah.
And then obviously, I think about 20 minutes in, we were 3-0 down.
I'll do some Swansea chat, because I know it's probably not the best, but there's a couple of unique questions, rather than just say, oh, how did it feel being 3-0 down, because we all know the answer to that question. I interviewed Brian Howard about 2-3 years ago now. He told me that you said to him that you'd play him if we played Swansea in the final because we'd need to control the ball more. Is that true? Or do you remember?
If he said that, I can't say it's not true if he said it. I can't remember a lot about that.
Did Matt Mills ask to leave the club the day after we lost the final?
No.
Or was it soonish after? That's what was reported.
No, anyway. I don't know when it was. To be honest... And do you know what? The thing with Matt, obviously Matt did what he did, QPR game. We know what happened and wasn't a good thing. And we all agreed that wasn't a good thing. He had a really good season for us that season.
Yeah.
He had a really good season. He didn't ask for to leave straight after, but he left. And that's what happened.
Mm.
That's football. And we had to, and we got good money for Matt. I think we got £5 million for him.
Yeah,
you know, great money. So and he played. Yeah. He played like a £5 million player that year, didn't he?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. He was fantastic.
Yeah,
and you have to remember, we had to replace Matt. We had to replace Zurab. Zurab went to Turkey.
Mm.
He would have stayed if we'd have gotten to the Premiership, Zurab, without a doubt.
What guy?
What player?
Yeah.
What guy? What player? Yeah. So no, I don't. I know Matt and I were good friends, and he had a great season. I think that's one of his best seasons he's ever had in his life.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'd say he's not the.
He was outstanding.
Yeah. Have you ever watched the game back?
No.
I think you'd said before that you had.
I've watched 20 minutes of that. I put bits on the presentation. I watched a bit when Jem hits the post, and I keep looking at it and I'm thinking, well, actually it's going to go in this time, and it never does. And then it comes back to Noel, and I think Noel's going to pop it in the net this time, and he never does.
Was that was 3-2, right?
Yeah, that was straight after 3-2.
Yeah, it was a great strike.
Yeah, it was.
And then you got Gary Monk, who shouldn't be there. What's he doing in that position? And
you know, I watched the highlights back of that a couple of days ago when I was putting some questions together for this, and I watched Noel Hunt's shot, and I actually slowed it down because I was like, is that on target? Yeah. And I slowed it down trying to convince myself that it was off target and that it didn't matter anyway. But no, it was going. But I mean, how do you look back on that as a moment?
I mean, it was just, I think I was only maybe 21. Like at the time, like walking out to Wembley, 8,000 fans. And I think when I speak about playing football now, when I speak to people about it, I didn't care. I almost didn't like take in. Well, I think we were speaking about it earlier. You don't take things in. And I was 21 playing at Wembley, and I just wanted to go out and play a game of football and enjoy it. And that 3-0 down was horrible. I remember, like, because our group, like, I think Griff. Was it Griff? Harley? Yeah. I think, like, just, we started the game poorly.
Yeah.
No, we started the game really well.
We should have been
1-0. I think I got one in for Shane, and we didn't score, and then obviously they went down, they're running it, and I was just like, what has happened? This is our day. I was like, no, this can't happen, this is our time. And I think we went in at half time, and I remember the lads come in, they were a bit like,
upset.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, a bit like, what is going on here? I remember Brian's been like, look, stop, calmed it down, and it was almost like, well, let's win the second half.
Yeah.
Like, we've come this far, let's just go out and kind of...
I just thought, could we score a goal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew if we scored a goal, we could get another one. And then,
it's playoff final. I mean, it's not so much these days, but back in those days, playoff finals were mental.
Big ones.
They would just have like 4-3s and all sorts of stuff all the time. I don't know why they're not like that anymore. I think it's almost because... they're built up so much with the money and everything, maybe teams a bit more conservative. But I mean, it's not like we were 3-0 down because we were unconservative, it just happened that way, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
just every time they went,
we just made a few mistakes and they scored. So
goal, and that's life. We didn't take our chances.
But let's be fair, that summed up, the second half summed up our players.
Yeah.
How good they were, and what a great bunch they were.
We wouldn't have won the league the next season if that didn't happen to us. Yeah. I would have much. That brought the group
closer.
It was weird, we didn't even start the season the next year that great. I think there was a little bit of like.
Yeah, it was like
we lost a few players.
Five. Including the cup.
Including the cup, yeah.
So, yeah, we lost like a few players, but we were thinking, no, we've done it last year, we can do this. And I think when we went on our run, it was similar to going on a run again, and we
came from deep, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly. It made that next year. Do you know what I mean? That's what really kind of kicked off. And people go, oh, how was your night that night? And I was like, we had a great time. We went back, we were all together, like, all pals, and we drowned our sorrows almost, kind of thing. But it was that group. And even though we lost, we literally wanted to get lost together. It was that was our group.
There was no sense of like missed opportunity because there was another opportunity around the corner, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think
there was for me.
You had the sense of missed opportunity.
Yeah, there was for me, but I didn't tell anyone. Mm. For me, it was like I struggled.
Mm.
Yeah, but I didn't tell anyone.
We wouldn't have known that.
No.
No, which I actually do want to get onto a bit later, actually. But I want to talk about just the championship winning season as well. How difficult was it keeping the club afloat then? Because we sold Shane, we sold Matt Mills. Was it a case of every summer, basically, you know, June the 1st, how are we going to fund the next season? How are we going to do it?
Well, we never went into the red. We was always working. That's why Guilfi had to go.
Mm.
I remember when Guilfi went, chairman bought me a glass of red wine because we kept the club going.
Mm.
We got 6 million up front plus another million.
We were very good at selling players, weren't we? I think you have to be, even now.
They were good at selling themselves because they were good players.
Yeah.
And Nick was good at doing deals. So that was always that. And you've got to remember, we bought Matt for 2.5 million.
Mm.
We bought Matt Mills for 2.5 million. So Matt performed really, really well the following year. And he got us 5 million. So there's a big profit in that. You know, so you have to work with players that you've bought. You have to work with all of them. Shane went. And I knew Shane was going to go that year. That broke my heart because obviously I was close to Shane, and I thought when Guilf went, I thought, okay, we can manage this situation. Mm. We'll play a different way. Shane goes, and I'm thinking, oh, we've got a problem here.
Mm.
I don't know how we're going to replace Shane, and then we end up getting Alfie and different.
Yeah,
and we had more strikers to pick from then, you know, and then it worked out fine. But we always had to sell. No, there's absolutely no doubt about that. But we recruited well as well.
Yeah. I wanted Lafondre in that summer. I remember because he was at Rotherham, wasn't he?
He nearly went to, I think, West Ham.
And I remember looking at him, and I thought, that's the sort of player we need to get instead of Shea, because he just scores goals. And it was funny that he was a player who was the super sub in a way. And he must have been. Was he knocking on your door asking to start more games?
I was pulling him in all the time. There's another one. How can you keep telling someone who's just got 2 goals for you that he's going to start on the bench?
Mm.
That was horrific. Terrible conversations to keep having.
Mm.
You know, and but I think once again, if you'd have actually said to the fellas, look, we're going to start with Noel, we're going to start with Robbo, and Alfie's going to come on, how does that look to you? I think most of the fellas would have gone, yeah, I'm having that.
I think he would have said, yeah.
Yeah. Alfie, looking back at it, I said to him, look, you're going to win us the league from, but all you got to do is sit next to me for an hour and then go and do your stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was the best I've ever seen at picking the pace of a game up.
Mm.
The best, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It was like incredible. He picked the pace of the game up so well, and when he had a chance, he scored. I mean, phenomenal, and a phenomenal lad. Love him as a fellow. He's a diamond, isn't he?
Yeah, quality, yeah.
Oh, top, top guy.
So for 2012 then, for that championship winning season, I mean, the question I was kind of thinking was, when did it feel like it all clicked into place for winning the league? But I guess the kind of sense I get is that it was kind of always there, that sense of everything being all right and just kind of getting on with the job, wasn't it? Was there a moment when you were like, we can win this league? Or was that actually just several months before?
At the moment I thought we'd win the league is when Southampton got beat by Middlesbrough and we won the league.
Mm.
I'm not joking, and that's not me trying to be funny. That was the only time that I thought we're going to win the league.
Yeah.
Well, I never thought about winning the league. Just thought about doing our stuff in the next game, making sure. I was thinking about Birmingham Crystal Palace the following week after we'd played our game. We played Crystal Palace, we drew, and I thought we're going to have to go to Birmingham to get a result here.
Birmingham did really well, weren't they?
But I have to say, I was thinking, I was so upset after the Palace game.
Yeah.
Because I felt, we're not going to win the league. Mm. I really wanted to win the league. So, not so much for yourself, Jem, yeah, because you were young.
Yeah.
And I thought you had more chances.
Yeah.
But Joby, Ledge, Robbo, Ian Hart,
yeah,
Griff, I wanted them to get medals.
Yeah.
And Jem was young at the time, so I wanted them to get medals, and I think that was really important to me and important to them as well. Yeah, and I've got a medal as a player, a few medals, and it's important to look back and go, well, we won something.
No, definitely. Yeah, I remember, because we had Brighton, West Ham, Southampton, Birmingham as the final four away games, and I think all of those teams were either in the top eight or near enough, obviously Southampton, West Ham. And the fact that we went into that and had Birmingham as a dead rubber is just, it's almost a joke, isn't it, how well we did in those games, wasn't it?
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. To go to West Ham, win. Southampton, win. Brighton, yeah,
Brighton was a really and then
the,
tough game,
the game the Leeds game was, I knew it was going to be difficult with Neil, and that, what happened to Jem that day, and that was another thing as well, you know, what happened to Jem that day, there was a real coming together in that dressing room because of what happened to Jem.
Yeah.
And we wanted to get Jem a medal because that was important to us, you know, because at that time that was a massive blow to us.
Yeah. No, we had, I had Luke Anthony on the show only a few weeks ago actually, and we were talking about like the mental aspect of going through that sort of injury. And when did it kind of, I mean, did it really click in your mind straight away how long you were going to be out?
Well, the ankle was, I think me and Michael Brown had it in the home game. I think it was in Churchy.
1-0.
Did we win? 1-0 with Churchy scored. And I think he went in and did me in that game, and I had to come off.
Yeah.
I remember that, obviously, the home game started off really feisty. I think they got a man sent off early, didn't they, in the corner. And I remember going, wow, this game is at it. Like, obviously, you played Leeds, and I remember chasing that ball down and getting my toe there. And I just like, what's just happened? Like, I just felt something happen. And I tried to get up, and I couldn't put my weight on it. And I always think, I remember going to the physio room, and I was like, nah, it's a bit alright. Like, it's just get the ice on it.
It's the big bruise.
Yeah, it'll be alright, it'll be sweet. And I remember going with Bobby Wilkinson, who took me to the hospital. And I remember my mum and I went, are you alright? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine, I'll be sweet, we're just going for a checkup. I remember sat in there and the doctor come in and he was like, no, Jem, you're not going to play again this season. I was like, good one. I looked at Bobby and I was like, well done, mate, like, pull everyone.
Yeah.
And he went, no, Jem, seriously, like, you broke my ankle. And it was weird, I laughed at Bobby, I was like, I couldn't get my head around it. I was thinking, I'm missing this running. And they were six. Was it six games? Biggest games.
Yeah.
This is like the biggest part of. Well, this is all I've wanted to do, is be a part of a team. That is trying to win something, and it broke me. Like, it still breaks me speaking about it. I could have a little cry up about it, but the best thing was almost getting injured and being on the side for the team.
Mm. Yeah, I remember you on crutches, wasn't it, as well? Like,
and even seeing like a tab. I think you brought in Hayden, didn't you, as well?
Yeah.
And I remember going to the Southampton game, the Brighton game. Me and Ledger were both injured for the Brighton game. Right. We were sat next to each other. And we just were like, do you know what I mean? We were fans.
Living at the moment.
To like that little, and even the Southampton game, we were having it with like the Southampton fans. Like before, we were like, we were just desperate, you know, to win. And then obviously, I think that even the West Ham game, like I came off injured in that. I broke my nose in a slide tackle. So I'd ended up getting a nose operation and an ankle operation like 2 days between each other. And it was just, it was a tough time, but at the same time, it was incredible because I got to experience it as a fan.
Yeah.
So, which I would never have known. You can't enjoy it when you're, well, not enjoy it, but you're just playing the game, you're just doing your job, but it was horrible. Like going to that game, driving down with Ledge to Southampton game, and we didn't speak in the car because we knew what was happening. That team was unbelievable, wasn't it, Southampton team?
Very good.
Like the Schneiderlin, Lambert.
Yeah.
Their team was like, they went up for like 20, 30 million pounds.
All of them went to play in the Premier League. Everyone went
and done really well. And we beat them.
Yeah.
That was like, that's how good we were. And no one gave us a time of day. No one got a player of the month. No one got in, I think only Hardy got in like team of the year.
Mm.
We got no recognition. and that was always our driving force. Like, we were just like little old Reading.
Especially for West Ham, like whenever you've got a team like that in the Championship, it is always like, oh my God, it's Newcastle, yeah. It's West Ham. And Southampton were the up-and-coming thing, and we just crashed the party, I guess, didn't we?
It was the best, one of the best games ever watching that. Seeing Alfie and like, yeah, I just knew it was our time.
That point.
And obviously going on and then watching the Middlesbrough. Was it Middlesbrough you said?
Middlesbrough.
We were watching it on Sky.
Was it in the players' lounge?
Yeah, the players' lounge.
I went home then. I was at home.
And yeah.
It was 5:15 kickoff. Yeah. We drilled and I thought we're gonna have to go to Birmingham to get something.
Yeah. We stayed and watched the game.
Yeah.
What happened, yeah.
So when it comes to like obviously lifting the trophy and all that sort of stuff and the great for you as a player and also I'd ask you for, as a manager as well, not that I'm asking you to pick your favourite memory or whatever, but the times when you look back and you think of your great memories, do you think of the moment you lift the trophy or the moment you scored the goal, or do you think of more personal moments, like when you go to Marbella after you've won the league and when you're in the dressing room having a laugh? Is it kind of...
I don't remember 5 years of it.
But out of the two of those things, which would you say are the ones that you actually like hold a bit more like dear as a memory, or is it just different?
The thing that jumps out for me is being with my family in the hospital room.
Mm.
Like, listening to I think I'd fallen asleep again after the operation, obviously dosed up with morphine, and my mum, like, we've done it. I was just like, done what? Where am I? So you're up, like, you've done it. And then obviously going to the stadium with everyone and getting wheeled in. Like, I mean, that, again, I know like I weren't on the pitch, but I got to share it with my family, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a unique moment, isn't it? Definitely. What for you? What would you say, Brian, as well?
Yeah, I've got fond memories now. Mm. Whereas before it was kind of, it was such a difficult time that for me it was like difficult. I remember the people. Mm. I don't remember lifting trophies and picking up medals.
Yeah.
I remember the people. I remember the staff. I remember the players. I remember people more than that, really.
Yeah.
You know, great people, staff around me. You know, good, great lads, great players, lovely lads, lovely players, just all of that stuff, really. Supporters who were amazingly supportive and who came and watched us at Southampton. And I remember them celebrating after Southampton. I remember them celebrating after West Ham. I remember everyone who went to the Birmingham game when there was nothing on the game.
Yeah.
You know, which actually was one of the most... It's a strange thing to say, I was so bored. do you know what I mean? It was like I was bored during the game. I said to Gibbo, 3 minutes, and I said, I just want to go home now. And we lost 2-0, and I was bothered because there was nothing on the game.
Did we miss a penalty?
I don't think we deserved to win the game, but it wasn't about the game. It was because once the game, the season's done.
Like a friendly.
It's like a friendly, yeah. It's like a friendly, and I just wanted to go home. I just want to go and have a drink somewhere, to be actually honest, and just move on, you know, and think about what was need to be done the following year, really.
Yeah. Well, how much, like, in terms of building the squad for the following year, how difficult was that? Because I remember hearing at one point, it probably wasn't true, but basically we'd planned loads of signings for being in the Championship, and basically went and signed those guys anyway. Was it difficult recruiting? Did we have to really come up with it as we did it, basically?
Yeah, look, it's always difficult when you're in a, you know, it was kind of, we didn't have abundance of money, I'm telling you. I had a board meeting, I was sat in a board meeting with everyone, and the chairman at the time, the owner, Anton, at the time, gave me the budget, and I just started laughing. And literally, chief executive said to me about, "What do you think?" I went, "What do you think?" Just the Premier League, and so we didn't have a lot of money. And then I remember signing the striker, Nick and I were at a game. We were at Wolves. That was the day that Aguero scored the winning goal for Manchester City.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the following week after our season finished. We got a phone call. We turned up at the Lanesborough Hotel to meet, and he walked through the door. You know, and that was it. I was trying to get Shane back. I wanted Shane to come back, and I thought we could have done a deal with $6 million. We didn't have it.
Is there talk of we put a bid in for Gilfie as well?
No, that was in the that winter. Was that January?
Yeah,
but that was never going to happen.
No, I think that was
in the prep.
Yeah, okay. That was in the January, yeah. On deadline day. It was like a, you know, when you sort of put a bid in, you think, we haven't got this money, or they aren't going to happen anyway.
Yeah,
you know, that sort of thing, yeah, you think, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
And I was just there sitting there, and I just let it play through.
Mm.
It didn't happen, obviously. I wanted to get Shane, and we got Pervin, and that was it, that was fine. And we made a few signings. And I'm going to tell you, the lads did great in that league. The league was 5 times different to the Championship at that time, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We were playing in it, I was just watching it, but it's a different level, completely different level.
Just the quality was...
Yeah, different level.
I think my memory, and you probably would have, obviously you would have found this, but I remember watching Ledgerwood get the ball. And Ledgerwood in the Championship, he'd get the ball, he'd take a touch. He wasn't the best close control on the planet. It wouldn't lead to any problems. But Ledgerwood in the Premier League would get a touch and there'd be 3 men on him, and then they'd get the ball and I'd be like, oh crap, he can't play football as well in this league, like it's harder. And how did you find it as well, like players just being on you and everything? Like,
I don't know, like, I still had complete like faith almost in our team that we were still good enough, even though like Brian hadn't been given all the money that wanted to be spent on the squad. But I think we were always thinking, I think we showed it. We went to Chelsea,
We were lucky.
We should have won. We were unlucky, and the first
game. Newcastle as well. Wasn't it?
There was so. You look back at the games, and even like we went 1-0 up at Spurs away. Yeah. There was opportunities to actually pick up a point.
We weren't a million miles away from getting Man City as well, away from home.
He scored last minute. I saw that goal the other day. He's all over the back of.
Sure.
Reed
Richards,
yeah. No, it was, I wasn't, it was, that was Cup Day.
Is it Milner?
It was Gareth Barry.
Oh,
okay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because the Cup game, I played right back, didn't
right.
I? When I just come back from my knee injury.
Yeah.
But the quality was different. I remember playing Spurs, like Moussa Dembele, and you speak to so many of the players now,
he
was unbelievable.
He was. Yeah.
But even, like, I remember playing, like, Chelsea at home, when we came back into the game, they just were different. Yeah. Like, they were just knew where the ball would be, like second balls, like, we need more second balls. I'm like, I can't, I don't know what to do. Like, Championship, you were the one that would win everything.
Yeah,
you knew where
to
go. But they were just so good.
Yeah.
And I remember we played Man City at home, and it was James Milner, and everyone was all, you know how everyone speaks of Milner, they've only really started giving him the praise that he deserves probably now. And even us at Lads, we were like, oh, Milner's playing. Like, not that we thought we were better anymore, but we was like, we've got a chance.
Yeah,
he was unbelievable. Like, he was the reason now why you see he's had the career he's had, because he was unplayable. And you were like, wow, that's a player that doesn't give the recognition. But all the players are really good. They're just really good footballers.
No weak links.
Yeah, like, they're just quality. And you looked at the squads then, and there was no easy game. There was no game before. Like, it's just like, we're going to win this. It was just... But I think we can look back with a bit of pride, and we didn't cave. Do you know what I mean? Like, you see a lot of teams since probably in the Premier League when you're guaranteed to go down. I don't think we were ever really like that. We even the January, like when you got player a month, manager a month. We were flying.
Yeah.
And we were like, here we go. But again, I look back at it probably as a player, and I just wish we were allowed to bring in better players. Not that the ones we didn't bring in weren't good, but probably just...
Well, I mean, if you look at how teams that get promoted will sign like £30 million players, were signing players for free.
That was the time, and that was the club that we were at the time.
And Anton was the...
And he was the owner, and it proved to be not a great time for the club. And actually, since then, the club has never really been the same. It's not been the same.
Yeah.
You know, Yapstan got into the playoff final at one point, which was great. Apart from that, it's been difficult, and it's been a shame, really, because between 2000 and 2013, Football Club was amazing, absolutely amazing. Look back now and you think, wow, what a great time we've had.
Mm.
And hopefully it comes around again.
Yeah, no, I remember one thing that sticks out for me is with you, Jem, is the Fulham away game, because we were already relegated and you scored your, I think it was your first, and that was the Premier League goal you got that year, and you just looked, you lost it in your celebration. Yeah. You were so happy. And is that the case, that you were just so happy to score your first
goal?
Scored
a goal in the Premier League. Growing up as a kid, you said I'd even play football. I've been buzzing, but to do that, and obviously we won the game, scored a goal, got an assist, family were there. I know we were down, but we were down. It was like that probably frustration and coming out and hadn't gone how we wanted it to go, and there was so much change. So no, it was an incredible moment. Obviously, selfishly, it was a great moment, but I don't know. Like Brian said, it's a shame that since then, you know, it's been tough for the club, and even getting a sense of that yesterday, going there, you speak to fans and we all reminisce, and then they just won that again. And but we were so lucky. I was so lucky to be a part of that group for that long, coming in as a 15-year-old and having 10 years of promotions, Premier League football, you know, trying to get into Europe, watching them guys do that. It was unbelievable.
But then with hindsight as well, it almost makes sense that happened, in a sense, because you had someone like Nicky Hammond, who we know is great director of football, Eamon Dolan, obviously an incredible guy, leader of the academy, produced great players, people like yourself and Steve, great man managers and everything like that, good tacticians. So it's a group of people, isn't it? That's kind of the fundamental basis for it.
It's always people. It's always about people. And that's what I kind of bang on about that all the time. It's always about the people that you've got in them. It's not about the size of your club, the size of your dressing room, how wonderful your dressing room is or whatever. It's about who's in it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and we always had great people on the staff and on the pitch.
Thanks for listening to the first part of our interview with Jem Carrachan and Brian McDermott. We'll be back on Monday with part two. Until then, have a good weekend. Come on, you arse.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow The Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.